Somebody say faith in action. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. The word of the Lord speaks and it says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Somebody said amen. Amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall recover. Church, we need to understand that these verses are more than just words on a page. We need to understand that these verses are our heritage. These are promises expressly given to the believer. Do we have any believers in the house? I said, do we have any believers in the house? God, through Paul, produced miracles in many people's lives by simply having pieces of cloth from the body of Paul, the clothes of Paul, or cloths that people touched Paul with, that once those cloths were given to sick people and broken people, those people were healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. But what we need to remember is that Paul was not just some far away character that we have no connection to. Paul was our brother in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. When Peter had faith to believe that prison doors could be shaken off their hinges so he could walk out of the prison cell a few hours before he was to be put to death, we need to remember that an individual that saw those kind of things was not just some far off mystical figure in some antiquated book, but he was our brother in the Lord. Brother Dave, help me out now. The faith in this faith in action stuff. Listen, it is in our bloodline. Why? Because we have the blood of Jesus Christ flowing in our lives. This faith in action stuff, it is in our very blood. It is in our DNA. The ability to do the miraculous everywhere we go is simply a family trait. Why? Because we have been born into the family of Almighty, all-powerful God. And because we are a part of the family, then the miraculous is simply to be a family trait. Somebody shout amen. The power we have. I don't have much voice left. I'm going to give it all today. The power we have to cast out devils. The power we have to rebuke every demonic force that might come up against us was simply something we were born with. You say, well, I'm not talking about when you were born from your mama's womb. I'm talking when you were born again of the water. Oh, and of the Spirit. When you were born of the water and you repented of your sins and you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, my friend, you were born again. And when you were born again, this power, I said, this power to overcome every sickness and overcome every devil was just something simply that we were born with. Church, understand, this is not something we've got to get. This is something we already have. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, don't listen to that lie that's saying, well, if you do this, you'll get it, and you'll get it. You got to keep striving. You got to keep, no, this isn't something we're trying to get. This is something we already have. When we were born again, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you got the Holy Ghost, you've got power. You've got power. Laying hands on the sick and watching them recover is not something we do. It is something we are. We are a child of the King. We are blood bought, and therefore we have the ability to do everything that our dad said we can do. Put your hands together. Give God praise. Give God praise. If you know you're a child of the King, give God praise. If you know you possess all power, give God praise. If you know who your God is, give God praise. If you know His name is Jesus, then you know He's worthy to be praised. You got to understand something. This was revealed to me the other day. Now listen. Remember when the Bible talks about, it says that we are partakers of His divine nature. When you receive the, now listen, this is good stuff right here. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you become a partaker of His divine nature. You are a partaker of the nature of God. Does anybody know that the Bible says about the nature of God that He is omnipotent? All power. Somebody say all power. Somebody shout all power. That is His nature. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you get to partake of that nature.
No.
Woo. Yeah. Do you wonder why hell fears you? You are a partaker of the omnipotence of Almighty God. Why? Because all of who He is dwelling on the inside of you. Oh. Woo. That's why we don't have to back down to anything. That's why we don't have to be afraid of anything. That's why we don't have to take a back seat to any spirit or any sickness or any disease. Why? Because we are partakers of the divine nature of God. And part of His nature is that He has all power in heaven and in earth, and I get to tap in to that power. I get to tap in to that authority. Somebody said amen. But here is the key to it all. Here's Here's the key to it all. Ready? For God is looking for believers that will make themselves available. That's where it's at right there. There is the disconnect. If some of you are in this room and you're wondering why you haven't really been able to connect to what God is doing like you wanted to connect to it, or you're looking around and wondering why all these people seem like they're getting such depths of the Spirit of God, it's an availability issue. He is looking for believers that have a hunger to be used by God in every way, form, and fashion that this book says that we can be used. Somebody said amen. Amen. He is looking for believers. Get this right here. Who are tired. You are sick and tired of your normal little life, where nothing spiritually exciting ever happens. And you'll shout about it. We'll shout about it in the book. Oh, I know he's giving me power. And I know he's giving me authority. And all we do with that is come to church and sit on a pew. Go to work. Nobody at work knows even who we are, the power that we possess. Fight traffic on the way home. Do a little whatever with the family. Go to bed. Get up. Do it all over again. Week after week after week after week. Month after month. Year after year. And we have nothing to show for the power that is within us. And God says, I am looking for someone. I am looking for someone who is sick and tired of living beneath your potential in God. I am looking for somebody who is sick and tired of your boring little life where nothing ever happens in the spirit. I am sick. And he's looking for somebody who says, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. And God, I am available. I am available to do more for you. Felt a little something right there. Felt a little resistance right there. Do we want to do this or not? Does the Bible say or does it not say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. If he healed yesterday, he can heal today. If he used people for his glory yesterday, he can use them today. If he used people to heal the sick yesterday, he can do it today. Then why aren't we involved in it? Why aren't we operating in it like he wants us to? It is an availability issue. We've got to make ourselves available for the deeper things of God. Do you hear me? I said we've got to make ourselves available for the deeper things of God, for the more powerful things of God. We've got to be willing to get into the next dimension of God. And sometimes that takes work. Every time it takes work. Every time it takes submission. Every time it takes obedience. Every time it takes prayer. Every time it takes sacrifice. And God is saying, who is it? Who is it among you? Who is it among you that's going to be willing to do whatever you have to do and pay any cost necessary in order to make yourself available for the deeper things of God? I want it. I want it. If he can use anybody, I want him to use me. If he can work through anybody, I want him to work through me. Ooh. God is looking for someone who's willing to move beyond status quo Christianity. We can say amen and keep living that way. We can say amen and we can clap and we can say, yeah, I know he's looking for somebody like that. Or we can become that somebody. He's looking for someone who says, I'm tired of going through, doing the same thing over and over. And I just show up for church and I pray a little bit here and there and I feel presence of God and I'll talk in tongues here and there. And I know I'm saved. And nobody's questioning your salvation. But how many know we can get to a place where we just become complacent? And we use all kinds of excuses. I'm too young or I'm too old or I'm too busy. Too much stuff going on or too much this or I got plans or I got this or schedules and all this kind of stuff. When are we going to get the picture? When are we going to understand that what God is talking to us about now is the most important thing that we will ever do in our entire lives? When are we going to understand and have a revelation that this God thing, this power thing, this authority thing, this Holy Ghost thing is the most important thing that we will ever do in our entire lives? And God is looking for someone who is available to be used by Him. Amen. Let me correct the wrong thinking right now. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. Some of you have exempted yourselves from the deeper things of God because of imperfections in your life. My friend, look all throughout the Bible of every man and woman that God ever used. You'll never find a perfect one amongst them. Not one of them were perfect, and not one of us are perfect. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. He's looking for someone who will continue to strive after the righteousness of God in order to cleanse themselves of everything that He reveals to them, still knowing that we are not perfectly pure, and yet in our imperfect state, we allow ourselves to become available to the working of God through us. Blinded eyes being opened, crippled limbs being straightened is obtainable. For every single individual in this room who makes themselves available. All of it. All of it. All of it. He wouldn't tell us we can do it and then withhold it from us. He wouldn't say greater things than these shall ye do. And then say, just joking. No, He meant it. He meant it. He meant it. You know, the latter rain is going to be 7 times greater than the former rain. If the former rain was the book of Acts. Then that means that in the last days, which I believe we are living in, we are going to see 7 times greater in our world whatever happened in the book of Acts. And I want to be right in the middle of it. I want God to be using my hands. I want God to be using my feet. I want God to be using my life. I want to be available. I want to be available. Put your hands together. Give God praise. Come on, who's going to make yourself available for the things of God like never before? Who's ready to go into a new dimension of power? Who's ready to walk into a new realm of authority? Who's ready to do something that's absolutely going to blow your mind? Who's ready to do it and not just talk about doing it? Available, 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 available. Let me just say that there are apostolic believers all over this country and all over our world that are operating in this stuff. They are operating in the supernatural. They are operating in the miraculous. Now, to a small degree in compared to some, but a pretty big thing and a pretty big deal for me. Let me tell you a story. God's been dealing with me this last several days about availability. He's been talking to me about availability and the power of being available. So, my wife and I, we get up and pray every morning and before the kids all get up and we're in there praying in our living room together. And let me just say this, just as a side note. If it's awkward for you and your spouse to pray together, there's something wrong. If you cannot pray in the same room without it being awkward, there's something wrong with that. And you need to break that. The only way to break it is to keep praying with each other until it doesn't become awkward. That was a little side note. That was free. So we're praying. And I'm walking back and forth. And I'm talking to God. And he's dealing with me. He's dealing with me about being available. Power of availability. And I started talking to him about being available. I said, God, I want you to know I'm available. I know I'm not perfect. I know I got a long way to go. But I'm available to you. And you're going to start me off wherever you need to start me off. But I want you to know I'm available. I'm available. And I felt this so strong. I laid down on that living room floor. And I just began to weep and cry. God, I'm available. I'm available. I'm available. I'm available. And all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I don't know if it was a vision or what you would call it. But all of a sudden, so perfectly clear, I could see a woman. I could just see her face. And she had tears streaming down her face. She was of some sort of Asian woman. I don't know exactly what, but I could tell she was from Asian descent, and she was weeping, crying, and her face, you could see the struggle, you could see the difficulty written all over her face. Immediately after I saw that, the Lord sent me into intercessory prayer. And I knew that I was praying for that woman. And I knew, just in my spirit, I knew that she was not just some random woman in the world somewhere, but she was my sister in the Lord somewhere. That she was a believer. She was a believer. And so I got to praying, Sister Vivian, and I got to just interceding. And I was sounds that could not be uttered. I was groaning in the Holy Ghost, and I was praying. And as I was praying, though, I just, something in my mind just was curious. I was just curious. I didn't need to know the answer, but I was just curious of what I was praying for this woman about. What was her need? Why was I interceding on her behalf? And all of a sudden, my vision shifted. It was on her, and then it shifted to the right, and I saw, believe what you want to believe, but I saw, as it were, I saw this huge snake slithering towards this woman. And there was this anguished look on her face. And immediately in the spirit, I just knew that it wasn't a physical snake that was attacking her or trying to attack her, but it was a spiritual attack. That there was a massive, and this snake was huge. It wasn't a small little attack. There was a massive attack, spiritual attack that was coming against this woman. And I instantly knew in the spirit what that snake represented. And so I began to pray. It just intensified. I just kept praying. I didn't know what to pray. The Holy Ghost was praying through me. But as I warred in the spirit and as I warred in intercessory prayer, I literally saw in my mind, I saw that snake come to a stop, and it kind of turned its head like back and forth, and then it turned its head around, and it turned around, and it began to slither away from where that woman was until it got so far that it just disappeared. Oh. Listen, I don't know the particulars of that story. I don't know what was going on in that woman's life. I might not ever know until I get to heaven. But I do know that because of my availability to God, he used me to stop a spiritual attack on one of my sisters in the body of Christ. You talk about exciting. You talk about exciting. You talk about exciting. Sister Vivian, I don't have to tell somebody a story about what somebody else did in intercessory prayer. I got my own story. I said, I got my own story. Why? Because I was available. I was available. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use you. And he wants to give you a story that only you can tell. Put your hands together. Give God praise. True story. A couple years ago, there was a singles meeting out on the East Coast. Might have heard this, but singles meeting out on the East Coast. Power of God fell in that room, and Powerful, powerful, powerful service. They didn't end up getting out of the service till really late. We know what that's like. Some of the singles that were there, they wanted to go eat after church. And so they went and had to Cracker Barrel. They sat down at Cracker Barrel. Their waitress comes up, and one of the ladies in their group just discerned by looking at the woman, just discerned that she was going, the waitress was going through a rough time. She just looked sad. She just had sadness all over her face. And that woman who had just had this powerful move of God in her life in that service asked the waitress. She said, ma'am, she said, would you like for me to pray for you? She said, you just look so very sad. And I just know God can do a work in your life. Immediately that woman broke and she began to weep uncontrollably at the corner of that table because of the pain and the issues that were in her life. They said, would you mind if we pray for you? She said, no, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. All eight of those ladies or men, ladies, whatever it was, got up from that table and they surrounded her in the middle of Cracker Barrel. Laid their hands on that woman and began to pray. And it wasn't but just a moment later that woman lifted her hands, repented of her sins, and in the middle of Cracker Barrel, God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. As you can imagine, this caused quite a stir. The manager needed to take care of business. So the manager comes over. It's a woman manager. She comes over and she says, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? What's all this commotion about? And she saw the waitress that was praying and crying and talking in tongues. She said, what is all of this about? And they said, if you want what she had, if you really want to know what it's about, can we pray for you? She said, yeah. And they prayed her through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Other people started watching and looking around. The other people that were just eating before they left that Cracker Barrel, they had prayed eight people through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they were available. They were available. They were available. Use me, God, wherever I am. If I'm eating at a Cracker Barrel, use me for your glory. I'm available. I'm available. You may be seated. My wife's so awesome. Can I get an amen on that one? I love my wife. So we sat a couple days ago. We were... It was Friday. We had a little doctor's deal, so we went there, and afterwards she wanted to go to Famous Dave's. So we were over in Tinley Park area, and so we popped in Famous Dave's, and we sat down. And as we walked in, there was a young lady there that I don't even remember what was wrong with her, but she was all crippled up and just jerking and moving around. Very sweet-spirited girl, but obviously something wrong with her. And we sat down. We sat down, and I began to talk to my wife, but I kept seeing my wife. She just kept looking at that lady, and I felt a witness in my spirit that God was talking to my wife about praying for that girl. A little while later, she stands up, and she gets a purse. She said, I got to go. I said, all right. So she goes over, and the girl was, in the seating area, right? And you said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Can I talk to you in the bathroom? Now, we got to laughing about it later. If somebody came up to you in Famous Dave's and said, hey, I want to talk to you. Let's go talk in the bathroom. But how many know when God puts something together, it just works perfect? That girl was like, yeah, she could. And my wife found out real quick the girl couldn't even talk. Makes noises. So they walk into the bathroom. And my wife begins to talk with her about the power of the Holy Ghost and about how God's a healer. Ask her if she believes that God is a healer. And I was like, yeah. And so right there in the bathroom of Famous Dave's, my wife laid her hands on that young lady and began to pray the prayer of faith over her. Ooh, available. Available. Right in the middle of her praying for that woman, the bathroom door burst open and a lady comes rushing into the bathroom, bawling her eyes out uncontrollably, goes into the stall, sits down, and just begins to weep and to cry, Several things that happened. I won't get all of it. But my wife found out that that woman that was crying, she just found out. She was a worker. She just got on her shift. She gets a call from her family that her grandmother had just passed away. Just passed away. She gets the news. She bursts into the bathroom and she begins to weep uncontrollably. My wife, available. Whatever you want me to do, God, available. She goes in there and she says, ma'am, I know you don't know me. And I know this might be a little weird, but would you mind if I prayed the peace of God over your life? That woman looked up to her. She said, no, that would be absolutely fine. My wife laid her hand on that woman, began to pray the prayer of faith over her, began to pray peace into that woman's life. That girl grabbed a hold of my life. My wife, never met her before in her life, and hugged her and squeezed her so tight. The power of the God fell. My wife come back. She said, I just had church in the bathroom. I said, baby, you got a bathroom ministry. You go, you go, you go. I just had church in the bathroom. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a woman that was saying, I'm available. And God says, if I can find somebody that's available, I'm just going to keep sending you hurting people. I'm just going to keep sending. You thought it was going to be one, but I got others. I'm going to send your way. Why? Because I notice, I see that you're available. Put your hands together. Give God praise. You want God to send you hurting people? Just get available. You want God to send you broken people? Just get available. You want God to send you messed up people? Just get available. He'll send them to you. He'll send them. He'll send them. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's trying to get us into the deeper things. The deeper things. Oh, I don't know. I don't think we told the story, but maybe we did, and I'll tell it again because I got a little further revelation on it. Was it last Sunday, Brother David, that your hands were raised? And so last Sunday, we were talking about the holiness of God, righteousness of God, all this. Brother David comes up, stands over there, and he lifts up his hands in response to the righteousness of God and in pursuit of the righteousness of God. As he's standing there, he realizes as his head is completely tilted back, he realizes that because of the surgery that he had, that every time he would do that, he would feel great pain in his neck. But now he realized as he was worshiping God, there was no pain whatsoever. That God had absolutely healed him. Nobody even laid hands on him. But he also said, Pastor, as I was standing there and I had my hands raised, he said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you felt the power of God fall on you, whatever. And he said his hands, his arms, he said it was like on their own began to move. Like this. Began to wave before the Lord. He said, Pastor, I was not moving them. He said they were moving on their own. I get home, that was Sunday. I get home after church on the Sunday, and I tell my mom and my wife about it, and my mom starts tearing up. She said, Anthony, she said, the same thing happened to me. She said, she was standing right over here. She said, and her hands were raised. And she said, normally, she said, when I raised my hands, she said, after a little while, they would get tired. And you know how it is. And they would get weird. She said, it was like it was completely effortless. My hands, my arms, raised unto the Lord. And Brother David and Mom, listen to this expressly. Everybody else, listen. I believe God gave me revelation of exactly what was happening to you and you last Sunday. For the book says this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So the Holy Ghost has been sent down to heaven. It is filling us. And then it says this, which things, what things, this Holy Ghost thing, which things the angels desire to look into. Understand, the angels of God are in his presence, but they are not filled with his presence. We are filled with his presence. And the Bible says this Holy Ghost thing, it says the angels desire to look into it. The angels literally desire to want to know what it's like for a believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're curious. They want to know. And I truly believe, Brother David, Mom, that what you were experiencing was not because the angels of God were simply helping to lift your arms or strengthen your arms so that you could worship God. But I believe that it was because they saw the correlation between your worship and the infilling of the Holy Ghost that was upon you. And they were trying to connect their hands to your hands in worship, in an attempt to get a little bit better understanding of the Holy Ghost that is within you. They saw lifted hands, the power of the Holy Ghost moving all in us and through us. And those, come here. Here's Brother David, and his hands are lifted. And he's like this. And that angel says, man, come on, worship, bud. Yeah. That angel says, man, I wish I had that. I wish I could understand a little bit more about that. I know I'm in his presence, but his presence isn't in me. And I wonder what that's like. Let me see if I can get a taste of it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about God is trying to lead us into the deeper things of his spirit, where his angels are walking up and down every aisle and up and down every pew every single time we meet, in hopes that they can get a better glimpse of the glory of God. He's wanting to do greater things in us. He's wanting to show us greater things. But he's waiting to see, is there going to be anybody who's willing to become available? We must refuse to be satisfied with church as usual. We must refuse to be satisfied with moves of God as usual. We must refuse to be satisfied with altar services as usual. We cannot experience everything God wants in a 10-minute altar service. Therefore, we've got to be willing to commit ourselves to being available to him for however long that it takes. That is what God is calling us into. That is what the Spirit is leading us into. He is trying to create a craving within someone. He is trying to create a hunger within someone where you experience angelic beings. He's trying to create a hunger within someone where you operate in the spiritual like you've never operated in the spiritual before. But you've got to be available. There's a man that I've met, powerful man of God from India. Pastor's over there. Powerful, powerful man of God. His name is C.P. Thomas. Had the privilege of meeting him. C.P. Thomas was in India, in the city where he pastors. And there was a husband and a wife whose daughter had died. And they had heard about this C.P. Thomas. And more importantly, they heard about the Jesus that C.P. Thomas preached and believed. But they didn't know where to find him. And people told this husband and wife, they said, we know that he preaches on the street corners all throughout this city. And so they took their dead girl. And for 4 days, they carried their dead daughter up and down the streets of the city, hoping to come in contact with this man who had come in contact with Jesus. On the 4th day, they finally found him preaching the corner. And they went up to him and they began to talk with him. And they asked about this miracle worker that he served. And they took their dead daughter and they laid it at the feet of C.P. Thomas. He didn't know exactly what to do. What would you do? And so he said, I simply lifted my hands and began to worship God. He said, I don't remember how long I worshiped God. He said, but at some point in my worship, I felt a stirring at my feet. And I continued to worship until I knew what it was that was happening and taking place. He said, and I stopped worshiping and I opened my eyes and looked down. And at my feet was that daughter, perfectly well, absolutely alive, not a thing wrong with her. Listen, I know by the clap and the response that we're not there yet. I get that. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is that's where God's trying to take us to. That's where God is trying to take us to. And we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And it's fine that we might not have that kind of faith yet. But just don't stop the journey. Make yourself available. Make yourself available. Do you hear me? Make yourself available for whatever God wants to do in you. Because he probably isn't going to throw something like that at your feet or mine at the place of our journey. But he's going to lead us. And he's going to know exactly what we need. And he's going to show us. And every time he does, and every time we say we're available and we operate in spiritual dimensions and power, and we see the miracle happen or the blessing take place, when we see those things happen, it's going to build our faith that much more. And we're going to understand and get revelation that much more of the power and the authority of God that is within us. And then we keep making ourselves available, he's going to keep giving us more. And you keep making yourself available, he's going to keep giving you more. Listen, don't discount this. Listen, I feel to tell somebody this right now. Somebody in this room is saying, oh, I could not. Well, somebody put a dead girl on my feet. I don't know what I would do. And so you're saying, because I don't think I would have faith for that, I'm just going to stop everything. No. That's not how God's going to work. He is wise. He has all wisdom. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything. He knows exactly how to methodically move you and move your spirituality and your faith level line upon line and precept upon precept. He's going to lead you, but you've got to be available to be led. Does that make sense? Let's put our hands together and give God praise in this house. I got other things, but I'm going to close or come to a close with this. I want our teenagers to listen to me right now. Two teenage girls in China. One of our churches, Apostolic Church in China, repented of their sins, were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They started reading their Bibles. Brother Hawks, they started reading their Bibles and they saw the story of the 70 where the Lord sent them out two by two to preach the kingdom of heaven and to heal the sick. Two teenage girls saw that and decided, let's do that. You and me, that's two. Let's go. And so what they would do is they would go from village to village. And in their way of doing things, and God told them, or however they did it, they would walk into a village and they would ask, they would get all the people around and they would say, what is the main problem in this village? And then they would go to war against that thing in the spirit. They came to one village and they asked the people, they got the crowd together and they asked the people, they said, what is the main problem in this village? And they all in unison almost said, there is a witch doctor in this village that controls everything and controls everybody. We can't do anything without him casting spells on us and power over us, and he's mean and he's cruel and all that. And they said, we can't do anything. He has got complete dominion and power over this village. Two teenage girls said, take us to him. Take us to him. You see, because when you understand who you are, you don't have to back down to anybody. Take us to him. That village said, no. Two teenagers, no, we can't do that. You'll get killed. It's bad. No. They said, take us to him. So they walked up the little trail and they got to this hut where this house or whatever it was, where this witch doctor was. He felt it in the spirit. He knew they were coming. You better know hell trembles. Before they could even get to his house, he ran out of his house towards them, right towards them, with all intents of doing them great bodily harm. He got about 10 feet from them, and those girls said, in Jesus' name. And that man froze. Could not move a muscle. Froze. Yeah. Those villagers saw it. They started walking around this guy. They started putting two and two together. You guys did that? You guys did that? Two teenage girls did that? Yeah. Tell us about your Jesus. They got them all together. They begin to talk about Jesus. And they baptize the entire village in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? They were available. They weren't the pastors. They weren't the preachers. They weren't the evangelists. They hadn't been doing it for 37 years. They were just available. And God used their availability to perform a miracle in their midst. Stand to your feet now and lift your hands. Cry out to God. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for hunger. He's looking for availability. Oh! He's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody that says, I don't care what time it is. He's looking for somebody that says, I don't have anything more important to go home to right now. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what game is on the television. I don't care what our plans were. Oh, the greatest hunger that is within me is to be used by God.